CliffCentral.com. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and this is the Leadership in Education slot of the Leadership Transformation Platform. As I say, we started at 12 and we end at 3, and it's all about leadership in small business, in big corporate, in politics. We started off with Zwelinzi Mavavi the first hour, and it was all about leadership, ethical, moral leadership, and that's gone through to business, and it's gone through to transformation, and now education. The last time we ran the show, the last few weeks have been public holidays, so we did some reruns. It was all about, what was the last one about? Let me see if I have it on here. Well, the podcast will be there. It's so long ago, I can't even remember what it was. Today, though, we are talking with Ought SA, South Africa. It's an accredited, award-winning non-profit organization affiliated to World Ought as well. And they do quite a few things. We'll unpack that in a moment. With me in the studio, the head of Teacher Empowerment Department is Mpo Matlala. Mpo, welcome.
Thank you.
And Marcel Ravid, she's also part of Ought, been there for years. Welcome, Marcel.
Thank you.
So Ought's been helping us with SMEs, coming to the studio, sitting here live and engaging us, asking questions. If you listen to the previous hour, you'll know what it's about. But they're also strong in education. And I need to make sure here what your heritage is, where you actually started, because you've obviously evolved into different categories. I've got a piece, I think, from your website. Ought SA has trained and empowered thousands of South Africans in business development. So that's where you play in. Cutting-edge teacher training. That's important on your side. Skills development, work readiness programs, and basic computer literacy. And I like this part. Ought SA strives to make people employable and create employment opportunities. Ought SA educating for life.
Right.
And I mean, education is part of our lives. Running a little business is part of your life. It's like a child in your life. So educating for life stretches beyond just education. So I don't know, Marcel, maybe you can, how long have you been there?
I've been with Ought for 4 years.
Okay.
Ought in South Africa started in 1936, and
that's just the other day.
Worldwide in 1880.
Wow!
So World Ought started in Russia when people needed to be trained in specific skills.
Yeah,
and it has continued to grow since then. We are operational in 59 countries around the world. And a lot of it is invested in maths and science.
Okay.
A lot of the training.
All right. So before we get there, when you started in 1936, what was the essence of why it started? Was it Great Depression time?
It was.
Great Depression? So what was the essence and the reason for its start here?
It was to raise funds, actually, to support World Ought. Hmm. And then that did happen over the next few decades until 1992, about. Hmm. When World Ought saw that things were changing in South Africa and came in with an idea for technology training to teachers. And that was actually adopted by the government then. And Nelson Mandela was at our first graduation ceremony.
Wow.
It was called Ought Step, and it was a technology training institute for teachers. And in fact, just a few days ago, I got a very excited call from a past graduate of that thing to say he wants to come and see us and what are we doing. And he's been working for the education department and he's always loved Ought and he wants to be involved again.
Nice one. So it started initially decades ago to raise funds for the big projects overseas. And then 92 changed and it started with computer literacy or whatever,
exactly.
Skills for teachers.
Yes.
And then what happened next in your evolution?
And then in the evolution, it seemed that because we thought that the thinking was that to rather train teachers than to train pupils and to teach pupils, because that has a wider effect. And if you train 10 teachers, you'll get maybe 300 kids. And that's why we've trained over 1,000 teachers, you know, in the last 10 years.
On computer IT type skills.
And in maths and science.
When did that come on board?
The maths and science started about 10 years ago with projects which are funded by Bidvest, actually, and has been running since then in Alexandra and other disadvantaged schools, who I think now are much advantaged compared to some of the old Model C schools, quite honestly, because their maths is just on another level. And Paul will talk to you about the maths training for teachers and how we've included laptops, and we have given laptops to the teachers in order to bring that technology into the classroom. And of course, giving them during their holidays computer training. So everybody goes through the Ought IT Academy with our accredited computer teacher in order to give them that skill.
Okay. And your funds, where do you get that from?
So the funds are from all over, of course. You know, funding is very short these days. We're very lucky to have a few corporate funders who do keep on and see the value in the work that we do.
Because you're playing in the space of we can be an enterprise in your enterprise development funding. You play in that space. So,
company,
you have to pay 1% of your net profit after tax.
Okay. So we're not yet PTY, although it is one of the things that we're thinking of doing in order to sustain ourselves, is to perhaps have part of this IT Academy as a funder for our NGO section, for our nonprofit, but we're not there yet. And what we're doing at the moment, if you come to our premises, you'll see we've had a huge building operation. We were donated money to build an IT academy, which is what we've done. And we've made the old Ought building double the size so we can accommodate technology students to close that gap that is so, wide between people that know technology and don't. We want to start robotics. We want to start programming and coding.
Is that where you come in, Mpo? Matlala, what is your role? Tell us on the education front.
I'm in the teacher empowerment division.
Yeah.
And mainly we focus on teacher training. Our model is such that we provide training as well as classroom-based support. We bring teachers together, all depending whether it's in a primary school or it's in a secondary school. In the primary schools, we train them on weekly basis, and then we follow that up by classroom-based support. Now, that includes accompanying the teacher into the classroom just to ensure that what the teachers implement, what they were trained on. So in the classroom, is either the teacher observes the whole lesson, and after the lesson, constructive feedback is given to the teacher. Or alternatively, the teacher can request the facilitator to do a demonstration lesson, all depending on, you know, like the concept that needs to be taught on that particular day. And after the demonstration lesson, the teacher will do the teaching after having observed the facilitator teaching, or in some cases there is co-teaching taking place. They both engage with the learners in the classroom.
Alright, so tell us what the teachers go through before they get back in the classroom. What kind of programs and how you approach this, and the difference it makes in the principal's life?
What we do basically is that at the beginning of the year, before we roll out the project, you know, we do a needs analysis.
So a school comes to you. Is that right? A school?
No. We engage with the Department of Education.
So Department of Education comes to Ought SA and say, we want you to tackle that specific school in Alexandra.
No, hold on. It depends. We are an NGO. We are dependent on funding.
Yeah.
So if a funder comes to us, is either the funder will tell you, I want you to intervene in a particular area. It could be Alexandra, Egurulene, or whatever.
Okay, so I'm a rich businessman from Alexandra. I see three or four schools struggling. I come with 500,000 rand and I say, I want you guys to take this, these funds and help those schools with those teachers training.
Yes, yes.
That could happen. I mean,
exactly.
You want that to happen every day, don't you?
Absolutely.
But before we can engage with schools, you know, like we need to engage with the Department of Education local.
So if that happens, if a funder comes to you directly, then you say, thank you, that's wonderful, take the money quickly, and then you go to Department of Education. So you bring them into the picture.
Exactly, because they know the schools better. They will identify those schools which needs, you know, like assistance, and then.
Yeah, but the businessman said, "No, those are the three schools I want you to."
If the businessman is targeting particular schools, then that will be related to the Department of Education, and that
still,
yeah.
So you always try and bring them into the loop, which is good.
Exactly. We cannot go into schools without, you know, like the Department of Education.
Doesn't that slow down process? I've found that before. You're ready. You got the funds. You can go into three schools in Alexandria. You can now work, ready to go. Now you go to the Department of Education. What is their process?
But you must know that they also have their foot soldiers who goes to who visit the different schools.
Yes.
So we don't want a situation whereby, you know, like we have two people in the same school for the same reason, but now if they don't even know each other. So it's best if the Department of Education is aware that there is art running in a particular school.
Because that school might at the moment have someone working on specific training, and you might have to go back to your funder and say, well,
quite,
you know,
correct,
that's already happening. Can we utilize in a different way? But so it might slow it down, but it's inclusive.
It's inclusive. And the thing is, in Alexandria, for example, we've been there for 10 years already.
Oh, yeah.
So we're now going into the high schools there. So they know us very well from the department. We don't have to start right from the beginning again.
Yeah, and so that example is it. All right, so then you go into the school. You've got the backing of Department of Education. They say it makes sense. You've got the funds.
Yes.
And usually I'm guessing they won't block it if you have the funds, because everyone looks for improvement and empowerment. You then engage the school.
Definitely.
Tell us about that process, and then you, before you pull the principals into a classroom. Or rather the teachers.
Obviously, you know, like we need to get a buy-in from the school management team. And then not only the school management team, also the teachers that will be involved in the project. We call them for an advocacy meeting, and we tell them on how are we going to run the project so that they know what to expect.
Because that can be quite, I'm just thinking very simply here, frustrating. I'm a principal. I know the needs in my school. Suddenly I'm approached here by an organization. Let's say it's not Alexandria, it's in Soweto, wherever. We're Ort SA. We have funds here. And Department of Education believe that you should have training in this area. And the principal sits back and says, gee, was that 200,000 rand I could use to build a hall here or a soccer field? Or I'd rather use it for that than what you're suggesting. I don't know. Do those things happen, or am I exaggerating?
No. We haven't come across such a situation. Yeah.
So when you end up in a school, the legwork's been done. And they just say, thank you. Let's do this training.
Yes. The training goes on. But then another important factor is that, you know, you have also to engage with the unions.
Yeah, there's lots of parties in South Africa you can engage with.
You really need also to engage with the unions, because now you don't want to go there. And then because this thing of having to observe the teachers in class is quite sensitive.
Yeah.
Because you know, like they may think that you are there to find mistakes and things like that, you know, like, but they need to understand why are we there as, you know, like a project.
So the technology training you do for teachers helps them to teach their subject of English or math and science better? Or does the technology training enable them to do math and science better, teaching better? Or what exactly is your training? Let's just understand that the technology training as well as the math and science, how that comes into the picture.
You know, knowing, you know, like the background of our teachers in township schools, the majority of them never used a computer or a laptop in the past, you know, like so.
To do their teaching. Yeah.
Let alone to do their teaching. Just using it, typing, using a mouse, you know, like that's the kind of teachers, some of the teachers that we're working with. So our training is structured that such that, you know, they do basic computer programs like your Microsoft Office, you know, like your Word. But now, initially, you know, like we like, for example, if you training them on Microsoft Word, right? For you to assist them in also using that for their teaching.
Yes.
Such as developing worksheets, you know, like that will be part of that kind of training.
Use practical outcomes to train them on the computer.
Quite correct.
All right.
And then also, you know, like for when you're looking at Excel, I mean, like we're looking at record keeping, you know, class lists and then recording of marks and so forth.
Mm.
And that, you know, like relieve the administrators of that kind of work, you know.
All right. Yeah, that's and the math and science teaching or training that you do?
Yeah, we do training. Currently, we are involved with the mathematics programs.
So what do you do there? Do you upskill the teachers?
Exactly.
To be better math teachers and better science teachers?
Exactly. We look at content knowledge and pedagogy.
How do you measure performance?
Pardon?
The results, how do you measure that?
That is why we do your pre-test.
Okay.
And then after training, you do your post-test. And that will give you, you know, an indication as whether your training had an impact. But now that has to be translated to your learners.
Yes.
And then we look at, you know, like the previous year before intervention, previous year's results and the current year's results. That's how we
is it normally a difference?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there's a huge difference. We can see. We have another program called Second Chance, also to do with maths and science, where it was imposed the brainchild. We started last year with matric pupils who had previously failed maths and science, taking them for a whole year with a maths and a science teacher. And they did phenomenally well last year. We had an 89% pass rate. I mean, the kids, you know, at least 30 of those kids could now apply for university entrance where they couldn't before. And we're doing the same, and hopefully forever we'll go on with this program because it's been so wonderful.
Often there's a perception, I can't do it.
Exactly.
We had once at a dramatic school head here from, in fact, he came from Congo, you know, he teaches at Catholic school. And he's saying, the difference between Africa and in Congo, everybody believes they can do maths. But there's a culture here where we say, you can't do maths, etc. So to change them around like you guys did that, it makes a...
But you have to empower the teachers to achieve that kind of
result. So for these, we took excellent teachers. We were very careful.
I think what you are saying is that because this is necessary, it's not necessary in actual fact if we are getting good results from schools. So if teachers are well trained up to matric, we wouldn't have this kind of a program. So probably in Alexander, what we do is, because we are currently with the grade 9 teachers, after we have, you know, like trained all the teachers right up to grade 12, we're hoping to minimize the number of learners who will have failed mathematics and science.
How audacious is this task? How far are we behind in South Africa? If you go into just Alexandra, how many schools are there and how many teachers do we have to cover to actually get to where it's reasonable? To have successful math and science teachers who understand IT, who understand laptops, and I don't know, maybe it's too big a question, but what would you say?
Yeah, we still have a long way to go.
And that's just in Alexandra.
Yeah, but we're getting there, you know, like as I say, you know, we progress with the grades. Last year, our focus was on grade 8 teachers. This year, our focus is on grade 9 teachers. So next year, we'll progress to the next grade up to grade 12.
Sure.
So we started in grade 1.
You started in grade 1.
And we're now in grade 9.
Do you move from grade to grade when you feel you've done it, you've achieved it, or... How are you approaching this?
Actually, you know, like we focus on one grade, 1 year. Like, for example,
In a specific school.
In a specific school, right? Now, this year, our focus is on grade 9 teachers. While the main focus is with grade 9 teachers, we still support the grade 8 teachers because they're in the same school, you know, like, so.
But we're in all 6 high schools in Alex.
Are there six high schools there?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's doable to turn Alex around. It sounds like it is. I thought there's more schools.
There's 6 high schools and 12 primary.
12 primary schools.
But is that enough for Alex? Do we actually need 6 more?
Well, obviously, you know, like there is overcrowding as well. You know.
We're building shopping centers like crazy, aren't we? But we're not building schools like crazy. I guess the one needs government funding, the other one gets capital, you know, private funding.
How do the principals react to your intervention?
You know, apart from the maths and science program, we're also running a whole school development program.
Oh.
The whole school development program is for the school management teams, you know, from the same organization. So the principals are quite happy with what we are doing with their mathematics teachers. And at the same time, there is also management courses that are being rendered to the SMTs.
See, that's where this show specifically zooms in on the principal, because you can have two schools in Alexandra with the same challenges. One principal is a great leader, succeeds despite low resources. Other school fails with all the excuses. And then when you look at the commonality of the successful schools, then leadership is always an issue.
Exactly, 100%.
So that's the purpose of this, and you guys are helping those leaders, those principals, to upskill their teachers and to help students where it matters educationally. So thank you for what you're doing, and people can go to AutSA. It's easy. Google. I see your website. Can ask for funding. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
It tells what you're doing, and thank you so much, Mpo Matlala. Good luck with what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's a big job, and that's where the funding should go, rather than to other funny places. We won't say where. Marcel Ravid, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for supporting us here at Cliff Central with many fronts.
Thank you.
All the best. That's it. Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3, and that was our Leadership and Education slot. We'll join you again next week. Great guests lined up for the rest of this month, so do join our Leadership Masterclass also every Monday, 12 to 1. And then the education show, 2:30 to 3. Have a great week. CliffCentral.com.